Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Jim. I'm Charlotte. Claire, I'm Rob.
Rob, you're so many people. We're back again with Rob Lumley, if you're still here with us.
Congratulations.
No, we're happy to have him back.
Yes,
so this minute starts with Ethan pointing a gun at Claire and shaking his head and ends with him forcefully taking Claire's coat off. Yeah, this scene is more pointing, shouting, and shooting, or at least pointing the gun at Claire. We got some solid shout acting in this. Ethan is in full shout mode. It's the few good men, you can't handle the truth. I deserve the truth. You know, it's that level of
shouting.
Shout acting. I think it's the first time we've seen this. In 96, we hadn't seen shout acting like a lot from him.
Outside of Few Good Men, yeah.
Does he call her Charlotte in this scene?
Where are you hearing this?
So I'm not sure if he says, Charlotte, I saw you, or if he says, shut up, I saw you. But it sounds like Charlotte, I saw you.
He says, shut up, I saw you.
Yeah, shut up, I saw you.
I thought he was...
It's in both the book and in the script.
I thought maybe he was pointing out her web of lies.
It's taken four episodes to get to the puns. So for those of you that are going to have Rob on your podcast, four episodes is when they start. Be prepared.
I noticed there was a crucifix above the bed.
God. Yes, there is.
I'm not sure who nailed it up there, but my question is...
I can't wait to hear your question.
Yeah.
Whose safe room is this? Whose stuff is this? Like, is Jim Phelps religious or is IMF a religious organization? Why is there a crucifix?
In a safe house?
In a safe house.
I assume they sublet it out like a Airbnb during when it's not being used.
Can you imagine those people who are subletting it out and they're like, they have an attack team come in thinking that the IMF agents are there and they're like, no, we're not agents. And then they get arrested or killed. You know,
well, their guns, the whole place is lousy with guns. They're guns and flower pots.
That's what I'm saying, is that these people might be just renting the place and these other terroristic forces come in. And
I actually think, it sits fallow when no one's in it.
Okay.
Good point. Who decorates these places?
It's all Jim Phelps and Claire decorating it.
Yep. I think Jim and Claire go to each one individually. And they each one's like a different mood.
Yeah.
This is more of a, more of a alehouse, German, Czechoslovakian feel. So it's a lot of stained glass, okay. A lot of little pictures, little tiny pictures of probably castles and farms.
And crosses and Bibles.
Okay. So like the Martha's Vineyard one is more of like Pier 1 on Black Friday sort of look.
Mm-hmm. This is the second time you said Martha's Vineyard and you said vineyard. Can we talk about that?
We can. I occasionally pronounce words incorrectly. Usually when I'm recording with gentlemen, they don't mention it.
I'm going to tell you in all caps that it's vineyard.
Okay. What did I say?
Vineyard.
Oh, I'm wrong.
Yes. You've said it twice that way. The first time I was a gentleman and let it go.
All right, well.
The second time you're bringing down the podcast.
Don't whine about it.
Now you're just hostile.
Speaking of hostile, is that how they got this place? Maybe it's a hostel.
Very tentative pun. Pun to point ratio.
I know. I gotta back off.
No, keep going.
This the yelling here by Tom Cruise is another classic manic Tom Cruise that you mentioned. This is probably the. One of the first times he does this, Few Good Men would be another example of it. So this is a question I have. Once again.
Probably Born on the 4th of July, he did it.
Oh, yeah. But it was in a wheelchair, so we didn't notice or we didn't want to pay attention to it and bring it up.
It was lower.
Yeah.
It was lower to your eye, so it's not as scary when it's in your face. It's
yeah. Well, I mean, unless you play the part of a munchkin on Wizard of Oz, I doubt Tom Cruise is ever in your face. Why does Jim Phelps have Claire come back to Ethan? You're the experts.
We haven't actually gone over that because Jim's dead at this point in the movie.
Okay, so why? But I mean, okay, you're
wink.
Right. But we do know Like, what?
Are you saying to lift the veil and say, we know what happens at the end of this movie?
Yes.
Yes. How is this part of the stratagem?
Yes.
I think Jim is worried that Ethan is going to, he's figured out who Max is, and he's going to get to Max, and then he's going to find out who Job is. So by putting Claire with him, he now has tabs on Ethan, because Ethan's a super spy. So he's just going to go, he's going to fly, he's going to go into the shadows here in a second. So he needs someone with him that's going to be able to keep up.
So did Max get the emails from Ethan, all 14 of them in different languages? She grouped them up. She forwarded them to Phelpsflonk at hotmail.com to be like, I think he's onto us. And then he was like, you gotta, Claire, you gotta go and keep eyes on him.
No, I don't think they've communicated with each other.
No, I don't think so at all.
I think that, because how would he? He did not leave himself. I don't know if he has I'm sure he has another safe house with a computer and a secondary system set up, because he has to be somewhere right now. But I think at this point, the plan was to stay with Ethan. I think Ethan was supposed to die in the original plan, and it wouldn't have mattered. Now he is scrambling because Ethan made it, and also made it away from the B team. He got away from the B team and Kittredge. So, and Phelps now knows this was a sting. He did not know this was a sting when he started this mission.
Oh, I think he did. Cause I mean, I think he set up Tom Cruise to take the fall. I think he set up Ethan to take the fall.
I'm with you.
Really?
That's what I think too.
Really?
I think Phelps saw through that and wanted Ethan to be the fall man. Yeah.
Yeah. Because why else would he put all that money into his family's?
Oh, you're right. You're right. He does put that money into this farm.
Yeah. In Wisconsin.
Outside of Madison.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. You're reevaluating the way I think about this, because I had always thought that he's mad. Now, did he know the knock list was fake?
Jim? No, I don't think he did.
So that part of it, he didn't know.
No.
Well, that's weird, right? See, I always supposed that if he didn't know it was fake, then he didn't know this was a trap. But you're right. He did already set wheels in motion to put money into Ethan's parents' account before this job even starts.
Yeah.
It's not like Kittredge says, oh, you were just wired $100,000 into your parents' account. It's like over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, they've been keeping tabs on him.
Your parents have gotten money.
Yeah.
So
where's the money?
Where's the money?
So is part of also the reason Claire is involved, once again, I'm jumping ahead, I apologize, but is it so she can choose Krieger to join the team? Because like Krieger is sort of another Phelps disciple that ends up being part of this.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we haven't gone into Krieger yet, but yeah, I think everything that she was placed in this now, they are now in a mode where they're going to clean up, and so they're going to get her in there, and then he doesn't know what he's going to do. He's probably going to assemble another team, and so on the off chance they'll have somebody on the inside, and then they'll have two people on the inside.
Yeah, because I think Phelps knows that it's probably Ethan's head that, or way of doing it, that he would go after Job and then figure out that, you know, a way to get the actual knock list so they would get it from him. So that by, once they realized Ethan had escaped from Kittredge, that's when I think he decided to send in Claire to help, you know, be on the inside of the whole thing.
I have a friend named Claire, and I think I want to send her this audio clip of Tom Cruise yelling to wake up and ask her to set it for her alarm on her phone.
I actually want it to keep going. I want there to be more yelling. I want it to be, they're dead. They're all dead. Jack is dead. Precious Jack is dead, Claire. I trade the whole team to have him back. Why are you alive? And Jack is dead. I just want it just to keep becoming like all about Jack and that he's his best friend and he misses him. And Claire is not important to him.
You could loop this sequence of him just yelling, wake up, Claire. Jim's dead. They're all dead. Wake up, Claire! Just loop it.
You could actually splice together, like take it out of order every once in a while.
Yeah. I like that. I have one more question for you guys. Since yesterday, okay. I know you're upset about this. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry, but I did a little more research into Scientology, and I have a question for you. You're the experts. So Scientology, Mission Impossible. I'm trying to see if there's a way to connect these. in Scientology, there are 8 levels in the Church of Scientology. Do you think Tom Cruise makes a new Mission Impossible movie every time he moves up a level?
No.
Or maybe it's a prerequisite in order to move up a level. So he makes Mission Impossible 1, and he's able to move up to level 1. For listeners who don't know, level 1 in Scientology is OT1, which stands for Operating Thetan, and it is a solo audited level, which is the first step a clear takes. How much do you think it costs to get to OT1, guys?
$50,000.
That's too high, Jonathan. Chris, could you have a guess that seems reasonable?
$10,000.
$2,750.
I think he was already like at level 4 or 5 at this point.
Oh, I think he was higher than that at this point. 96. Yeah. Remember, this was at his most popular.
Yeah.
He was most popular, and he had just become a producer. So I think he's at 7 at least. He is almost, because this is when he becomes the Tom Cruise that we now know.
Yeah.
Where he produces all of his own movies. He does his own stunts. That was happening in this movie.
Yeah.
You guys don't know this, but a lot of people call me Rob Stradamus because of my predictions always being right on. I bet you there will be 8 Mission Impossible movies, one for each OT level in Scientology he reaches.
You've heard it here first, guys.
Yep.
I really want to play with you, but I don't care. I just so don't care about Scientology.
Well,
I'm trying.
It's the elephant in the room. We need to discuss it. That's okay. We can leave it at that.
No, we can keep going. Let's get into it.
All right, we don't have to get into it, but I do have a quick story.
Oh, we're getting into it.
No, quick story. This is not Scientology related. This is a true story.
Is this Adolescent Rob story?
Well, it's in between Adolescent Rob and when I was a grown up. I actually asked Tom Cruise a question in an interview that was published.
Why didn't you start with this on day one?
because no one would believe me. I've established so much credibility.
Yes.
In these four minutes.
You have. Well, tell us about what publication was it?
When I was younger, before I knew any better, this is an incredibly embarrassing thing I'm going to admit, but I'm going to do it. This is a safe space. Is it a safe space, guys?
It's a safe space.
I used to be a Kevin Smith fan.
That's okay.
That's all good.
Yeah.
In recent days, he's actually come out against his own friends and producers and seems to be a stand-up guy.
Maybe, but when I was younger, I didn't know how to point. Like, I wasn't able to see a filmmaker and realize they're a hack. I have the ability to do that now. And when I was younger, I was a big Kevin Smith fan, and I would hang out in like those areas, and he was going to interview Tom Cruise for like a magazine. And so he asked his followers to sort of suggest questions, and I suggested a question that he actually asked in the interview, and Tom Cruise answered.
Well, you overstated your... You said you asked Tom Cruise a question.
I asked Tom Cruise a question, and then someone else asked it. I wrote a Tom Cruise question. How's that sound?
Kevin Smith asked Tom Cruise the same question you were thinking of.
Kevin Smith asked a question that I wrote to Tom Cruise. Is that better?
Sure.
Okay. The question was, what is it like? This is in like early aughts when this happened. And I asked, like, what is it like to be a movie star for 3 different decades, the 80s, the 90s, and the aughts? At that point, he was actually filming Collateral, which is like one of my top 3, if not my favorite Tom Cruise movie. And so I asked that question, and Tom Cruise actually answered it.
What did he say?
He said something about, you know what, I'm gonna look it up. I'm sorry.
You don't have it, like...
Thought you would have it ready to go, yeah.
Oh, my God, Rob, come on, man.
Hold on. Okay. Kevin Smith said, before I came here, I told the folks at my website that I was going to interview you and let them throw out a few questions. So here we go. So here's the thing, guys. It's the first question he asks. What's it like being one of the top actors for 3 decades, 80s, 90s, and 2000s? And how do you plan on doing it for the next decade? Tom Cruise's response, guys, that's a cool thing to say.
Wait, that's it?
Well, hold on. Kevin Smith says, well, it's true. 3 separate decades, man. And Tom Cruise says, I don't know. Just keep hammering. I remember when I was doing Tap, I would love sleep. I would lose sleep. They're firing guys on this movie. I'd be gone tomorrow. They're shooting guys next to me. I shave my head. He's pissed. What am I going to do? But now, I don't know. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and make the movies and seize the opportunity of adventure and story and keep pushing myself to see what's next. Next, I'm doing this film Collateral with Michael Mann. So, guys, you have me to thank as you keep going on this, because it's my inspirational words that pushed Tom Cruise to keep chasing adventure and story.
What an obtuse answer to a pretty simple question.
I know.
It's like, what's it like to be famous? It's awesome. I've been rich for 30 years, and I have more money than God, and I could buy and sell all of you. That's what I would have said.
Well, now it's 40 years almost.
Right?
Yeah, he's been, and not just like kind of famous. It's not like he was breaking in the 80s.
No.
He was a movie star in the 80s.
Exactly. And when that question was asked, there was only two Mission Impossibles. You're welcome.
And zero Jack Reachers.
There should only be zero Jack Reachers.
Oh, you're not going to do the Jack Reacher Minute since we took your Minute Impossible?
I'm not going to do Jack Reacher Minute.
You could have Werner Herzog.
I said I was going to do Valkyrie Minute.
Good luck.
That's a happy movie.
Yeah.
I will say this. I've made some Scientology comments. I do love Tom Cruise, and I love Tom Cruise movies. And I have gotten into numerous arguments with people when I mention how much I enjoy Tom Cruise. Everyone is like, ugh, why? And then I just mentioned all the movies that he's in that are, like, I would say good to great. And I would say there's at least 15 movies that he's in that are either good to great. And that is more than most actors can claim.
Oh, guaranteed, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And, I mean, in Mission Impossible series, I would say only one is sour, and I don't think it's because of him. To be in a franchise and have five pretty solid movies is pretty impressive also.
Yeah.
In a franchise you produced.
Right? Yeah. So,
like a giant vanity project.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Mission Impossible 2 is good if you know what you're going to watch when you watch it. I shouldn't say it's good. It's entertaining if you're aware of what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's entertaining because the tech in that's insane, because they've... In this movie, they don't have anything that we have now. In this movie, they only have things that we have now. In Mission Impossible 2, they have things we cannot create yet.
Yeah.
So, and they keep pushing that from then on.
And Cruise has been in, you know, I mentioned Collateral, which I love. Edge of Tomorrow is super underrated. I think Minority Report is probably the best post-2000 Spielberg film. Magnolia is incredible. I think Born on the 4th of July is good. I've mentioned Risky Business, obviously Top Gun. The Color of Money has the greatest t-shirt in cinema history.
Few Good Men.
We have four Mission Impossible movies, Few Good Men. Eyes Wide Shut is hot take, my favorite Kubrick film. Jerry Maguire is entertaining. The Firm is good. Rain Man is good. Like, there's
Cocktail.
I actually never seen Cocktail.
It's not bad.
No.
But she's super entertaining in Tropic Thunder. Like, it's just a lot of movies. And when you start,
it's him. And I tell people that people always, they're the quick response is, ugh, he's so over, or he's, you know, he never really did anything for me. I never really thought of him as a sex symbol. He's just got charisma, and that charisma he funnels into whatever part he is playing.
I agree.
And that's why I like him a lot.
Yeah.
He is, you know, you were talking about, is Ethan dumb? I think on a certain level, Tom Cruise, when he acts, is a very simple actor, and I think he takes on whatever role and becomes that role. So his canvas is a little blanker. That's going to come out wrong, but I think when he does do a role, he becomes that person. He's not Ethan Hunt, but when he does the movies, he is now when I see him, it from two on. He is the same character all the way through.
I make a lot of jokes, or, you know, sort of ripped into Scientology, which is fair. But, like, I actually sort of feel bad for Tom Cruise, because, like, he's like some 18-year-old kid that went to Hollywood and, you know, doesn't, you know, it's not like, how would he know a lot? And, you know, he's super charismatic, and he was, like, a good-looking guy, and he got into movies and is fantastic in them. And, like,
and he's funny.
And he's funny, and there's this part of me that's just like, people are taking have and continue to take advantage of him, but the Tom Cruise trope that you see in movies is an incredibly entertaining and charismatic character that I love to watch. And, you know, we sort of just denigrated him a little bit, but the fact is, this guy works with some of the best directors in Hollywood routinely. He's worked with Scorsese, P.T.
More than once, yeah.
Michael Mann, Oliver Stone, Tony Scott. I mean, that's not necessarily fair, but like Brad Bird, even, I would say. Abrams. I mean, there's Brian De Palma, John Woo. Like, there's a lot of like really good directors that he's worked with. Cameron Crowe. That, like, it's tough to even find an actor who's worked with that many good directors. So he knows what he's doing in his business.
He has a he didn't become the producer and the mega producer he is today by making bad movies.
No.
And making bad decisions.
Stanley Kubrick. I didn't even mention Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah. Stanley Kubrick. Brian De Palma.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's awesome. So that's why
Ridley Scott. He's worked with Ridley Scott too.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Legend.
Yeah, yep. I forgot all about that. Francis Ford Coppola. Francis Ford Coppola in The Outsiders.
Yeah.
He's in The Last Jedi.
That's my favorite scene.
Yeah. And we should have spoiled that surprise for people. Yeah. The DVD's coming out next week.
And he's definitely got, I mean, the easy joke, the easy punch, you know, the easy way to punch down at him is to make fun of him. He's hyper-focused on stuff and he seems intense. And a lot of weird stuff has gone on with his religion, and it doesn't put him in the best light. And I don't think it's untrue. I definitely think a lot of the stuff that we've heard is true. But him as an actor, he's just interesting. He makes fun of himself every time I've seen him in an interview. He's super charming. Other than the interview he did with Matt Lauer, every other interview he is super charming. He makes fun of himself. Which for me, that's always, if someone's self-deprecating enough, I'm kind of on their team. I mean, his Twitter feed's hilarious. It's always actor, producer, running in movies since 1981. Yeah. Did he write that? I hope so. I know he doesn't run his own Twitter feed, but it just the fact that he allowed that to be on there shows a level of self-deprecation.
And like
that he knows he's being made fun of for the way he runs and the way his physicality is.
And I think part of it is also like there's this weird thing where you're like, oh, I really like Tom Cruise movies. Oh, well, he's weird. Well, I'm not Facebook friends with him. He's just a guy who's in movies.
He doesn't come over to my house.
Yeah. I just enjoy his films.
That's hard nowadays to separate the actor from their work, because when you're dealing with a lot of people that are, you know, garbage monsters, there are a lot of people that are garbage monsters. I don't know what it is. I don't know why Tom Cruise gets a pass. I mean, I love these movies. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't love these movies.
Yeah.
I think the thing to remember, here's another Rob life hack. If you look at someone in Hollywood as your hero, you shouldn't.
No.
You're going to end up disappointed when you find out more about their personal life.
At the end of this minute, there's some rough stuff where he grabs Claire and he pulls her jacket because he's trying to pull off her jacket. I guess he's looking for a wire.
He's seeing if she's a flasher like Jim.
He's checking. He's like, are you naked under there? No. Okay, you're not.
Your husband's good. A flasher. You a flasher?
It's genetic. It's passed on sexually.
It's not genetic.
Oh, sorry. Well, it's genetics are passed on. It's a marriage.
I can't wait for you to Google birds and the bees after this episode.
Is that how, that's not how sex works?
I don't know. I'm married.
All right, let's talk about this. I don't know if there's going to be a tech of the ep in this episode that's good. So let's just get that out in the open right now. Let's start with Rob. Rob, what tech of the ep do you have?
I'm going to go with the crucifix in the background.
The tech of the crucifix. All right. We have this minute has broken us. All the rules are out the window.
Fit to a T. So
now we're just doing like Brick from Anchorman. We're just pointing out things in the room as our favorite.
I live Tom Cruise's gun.
Oh, that's better.
Yep. Hey, that's actually tech.
Yeah, I'm going with the gun.
I'm going to second you on the gun. It's the only piece of tech in this. Rob is dumb. He shouldn't have the crucifix as his tech of the ep. We'll see in the next minute that we'll continue carrying over into how rough he is with Claire. Not a super fan of that, but this minute ends with him yelling at Claire and taking off her jacket because he's definitely He's definitely confused and almost mad that she's still alive. So we'll find out in the next minute what's going on with him and Claire. Rob's going to come back for one more episode, right, Rob?
Yeah, just one more, listeners. If you could make it through this week, it will get better.
It gets better, guys. Another place it gets better, the Impossible Mission Force Facebook group. We talk about everything from crucifixes to guns to there are going to be a lot of complaints on there this week from Rob's episodes. So we're going to have to field those questions.
Nailed it.
And Rob's going to have to come in and talk about Scientology. So, yeah, it's going to be great over there. You can also talk to us directly on Twitter at minimpossible.com, M-I-N, impossible. Until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I'm Rob.
This minute will self-destruct in 5 seconds.